That's what we strive for, is to provide a product that really has great qualities, great structure, great flavor, and also to educate people about what good olive oil really is.
When you think olives and olive oil, Georgia definitely isn't the first place that comes to mind. But in Southeast Georgia, one hardworking couple is striving hard to achieve mastery of the olive.
I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand.
I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. This season, we're hitting the road with Atlanta native and celebrated chef Dwayne Nutter. After spending 5 years in Alabama, Chef Nutter is returning home to Georgia to open a second location of his Mobile restaurant, Southern National, in Atlanta's Summerhill neighborhood. In the time he was gone, Atlanta has experienced significant development, but Dwayne is happy to be back amongst his old friends in the state capital.
Yeah, you know, all the construction in Atlanta, I got lost once or twice. And then some of my old buddies I see at the farmer's market, oh, you back, you know, all that stuff. But I was here for so long as a young cook coming up in the game. And so now I'm just back as an old cook.
Today, Chef Nutter and I are heading to Lyons, Georgia. Now, where is Lyons? Take I-16 east out of Macon and head toward Savannah. Just a little over halfway to Savannah, get off the interstate and head south, about 30 miles, to the heart of Georgia onion country. This is where we'll find Terra Dolce Farms, an olive farm which blossomed from the travel experiences of owner Tommy Williams.
Okay, I'm Tommy Williams, and I own the company Terra Dolce Farms.
And I'm Stephanie Williams. I'm married to Tommy, and I also help own the company.
You know, when you think olives, you don't think Georgia 20 years ago, maybe. But now, the story seems to change. How did you all get started?
Well, I got started after living in the Middle East for a while and in Europe, and just loved the olive tree. And then when I saw that some guys in Southwest Georgia were able to grow olive trees, I had to plant them. So we planted them about 5 acres, not really knowing much about what to do, except that I knew how to farm. And then they made olives, and then we won an international award with it, so then we really got the fever.
And olive oil doesn't just taste good, it's good for the body too.
There are a lot of great health benefits. You look at two things when you are talking about olive oils. One is the polyphenol. Plant-based polyphenols that olives contain, and that helps kind of clear the blood of toxins, and it's a powerful antioxidant for a lot of different things. The other thing you look at is that it's a healthy fat, and so it's going to give your body energy on an even pace, so you're not going to get a sugar high and then you're tired later on. You're going to get constant energy from that, and those have cardiovascular benefits and benefits against hypertension. You know, there's a lot of anti-inflammatory properties, and it's been proven to help with gallstones, to prevent gallstones. So when you start looking at all of the healthy benefits from olive oil, it's definitely something you need to have on your table every night.
Here in Lyons, there's another iconic Georgia vegetable, which is often the star of the show. That's the Vidalia onion. Primarily grown just a few miles down the road in the city they're named after, Vidalia onions are cultivated across 13 counties in Southeast Georgia, including Toombs, which is home to both Lyons and Vidalia. Growing olives in this environment comes with its unique challenges and rewards.
The difference in an onion and an olive is the onion picks up water. It's 95% water. An olive is no water. In fact, what you're trying to do is get the water out of it. That's what the mill does. It separates the oil. So a lot of those flavors that would be in the water don't translate over to the oil. Now, if you have a lot of water in the oil, it's typically milder. but not because of the quality of the water. But whereas Vidalia onions, you know, what makes them not so pungent is a low sulfur content in the water and in the ground. And the onion doesn't pick up that pungency because there's not much pungency in the soil. So it's a little bit different. You know, you're dealing with water and oil. They don't go together, you know, as it's always said. But
olive trees typically need what's called a Mediterranean climate just to survive. That means hot, dry summers and mild, wet winters. Think Greece, Italy, Portugal, and Spain. These are all places you would normally associate with olives. Here in Georgia, we have a humid, subtropical climate, and olive trees aren't normally big fans of humidity. That makes Terra Dolce Farms' olive endeavors all the more impressive.
But it's a lot harder than we thought. Georgia has some drawbacks, but we think we can plant in a more broad planting pattern, not high density what we have here, and be successful with it.
Using different planting patterns, Tommy and Stephanie can get the most out of their land and let these olive trees reach their full potential. This particular tree variety has origins in Catalonia, Spain.
These olives are Arbequina. It's a Spanish variety. It's a very common variety, but and it's good for high density. But it's more delicate than some of the olives from, say, Italy that will have a more pungency. It's like the difference in a sweet onion and a hot onion, sort of. But it's all in what you like. You know, some people like the pungency, and some like the delicacy. So we're fortunate to have just a touch of pungency, but on the whole, a mild oil.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the flavor does vary year to year based on what percentage of different olives we have in it. This year we had a lot of Koroniki that produced well, so there is a little bit more pungency, a little bite when you swallow the oil. You can kind of feel that peppery finish on it, more than we've noticed in the past.
Terra Dolce Farms continues to research and experiment with different olive tree varieties to find out what works best in Georgia's climate.
What we're hoping is to find an ideal variety for Georgia that makes a bigger olive, that makes a good flavored oil, and it makes a lot of oil per ton.
And does well with the climate, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we found one out of southern France called Solanique that we think would work. I just have not been able to get the plants populated here. But I've also planted some very common variety in Italy called Frantoia, which shows a lot of promise. It takes a pollinator called Pendolino, which I've got some of those growing, so I think we're going to produce some olives there. It would be for those people who would like a different flavor, a different pungency, and now we're doing some experimental work there. We also want to try to have different varieties so people can have different flavors. We hope to discover the tree that works for Georgia so we can grow the whole industry with something that we know works well. You know, farming is, you learn some lessons in a year, but it takes a year to learn. So you get 40 years, more or less, at an operation of farming. And in that 40 years, you can make one bad decision that puts you out of business. But hopefully you make decisions that keep making it better.
I took a walk with Chef Nutter as Tommy showed us around the farm.
I'm rolling now, so whenever y'all are ready.
So Chef, these are trees that I pruned back. They were as tall as those trees over there, but I've got a harvester that goes over the top of them.
Okay.
Mechanical harvester, and it just won't go over.
That's okay.
So you got to prune them down.
Prune them, and then you get a nice gentle shake, and they kind of
come off into the bottom, and then are augered up into the top. So we'll walk through here. I'm going to have to go through. Yep. We left a few trees with some fruit on it, so you could see. Now you can't eat olives off the tree. But if you mash that,
you can feel the
oil in it. The longer you wait, the more oil there is. But you don't want to wait too long, or you lose your extra virgin qualities.
And the flavor.
Yeah, and the flavor.
A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season 2 of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here at Terra Dolce Farm, there's a beautiful variety of olive trees, and each different tree produces a different type of olive.
So we have a few different varieties of olives. This is a Greek variety here. This is called a Koroniki, and it blooms a little bit different than an Arbequina, so you stretch out your fruit set period. And then there's another variety called Arbasana, which it's this tree here, but these are Arbasana. You see the olives a different shape.
Uh-huh.
It's more of an oval shape.
Without the point at the bottom.
Yeah. And it's a bigger olive. The Arbasana is a Spanish variety along with the Arbequina, but you can feel the... What I like to do is just squeeze a few of them and then just...
Use
lotion. Here's another tree over here.
Oh, wow. Got this purple situation.
Yeah.
Antioxidants. Okay.
Tommy watches how the trees grow and adjusts their orientation accordingly so each one can get all the air and sunlight it needs. One of the main things he's learned, don't overcrowd them.
Well, our goal is to make all the trees productive. And what we've discovered is the most productive trees are on the end of our rows. So we believe that we need to thin the trees out to get more sunlight to the tree, to get more air to the tree, so that pollination can take place with some wind moving through the grove. The tree will have more nutrients. We may have to change the way we harvest. Currently, we try to build a hedge by pruning the trees into the shape of a hedge, going over the top with a picker that beats the limbs and they fall out on the bottom. It's a kind of over the top operation. So these trees, what I've discovered is my best fruit is made on the end of the row or where I'm missing some trees.
Okay.
Which tells me that the trees on the end of the row are getting more air, more sun. And so I'm going to take out every third row and every other tree.
Okay.
And so hopefully I can sell some of those trees for landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll take what I can't sell into another field and transplant it and spread them out more of a traditional.
Okay.
I think Georgia's going to have a better chance of growing olives if we do the kind of the traditional planting rather than high density.
Right.
Or super high density.
They need that airflow.
Yep. And then you pick from the outside. But in a high density, you try to keep it almost like a hedge.
Mm-hmm. And so, then you have the machine to help.
Yeah. So we trim them with the machine. I started off just doing it all by hand, but I do all this by myself. Son who's 15, so
man, we got to get some more muscles on there.
Yeah, we do. I'm getting too over that.
Olive trees are resilient. The world's oldest olive tree is estimated by scientists to be 4,000 years old. That means they're strong enough to survive all the elements. Even those industrious little rodents who are the nemesis of flowing water everywhere.
Down on the end of the field, I've had the beavers ate about 50 trees and took them out in the pond. It's right next to the edge of the water. So fortunately, they'll grow back.
Mm-hmm.
They'll sprout back out. olive trees, you know, they're olive trees that are several thousand years old, and they don't get that way by not being tough and resilient.
Right.
You know, you think of all the things you could happen in 1,000 years, wars, people not having burning trees for heat, you know.
The way olive trees regenerate is fascinating. And that part of the process can sometimes be necessary to get the best blooms.
I can show you how they regenerate themselves. If they see, if I were to cut that tree down right there, it would flush out with all these little suckers. Now you don't want them on the tree, but if you were gonna like start all over, your tree caliper got too big to get the machine over, you could start with one of those. And because it has such a dynamic root system already, in 2 years it would be this big.
Is it a shallow root, or is it?
No, it's not shallow. It's deep. It's just, they're touching out here in the middle.
Oh, wow.
So one of the things I learned in Italy, my wife and I spent the last 3 years in Italy. I was down in the southern part of Italy, in Puglia, and I was in the middle of an olive grove in an old traditional Italian house. And this farmer kept coming by with his tractor, and he was running a chisel plow right down by the tree. And I'm thinking, why would he cut the roots of the tree like that? And as it turns out, it makes the tree suffer and bloom more.
It blooms, stronger.
Yeah, so it thinks I've got to reproduce, you know.
Because I might be passing away here. I need to produce more.
One thing is for certain. The taste of this olive oil far surpasses most of what you'll find at the grocery store.
The one thing that people can tell the difference of is if they've never had fresh oil, it's nothing like you're buying at Walmart. You know, it is totally different. It's not blended with old oil or been sitting on the shelf a long time. It's definitely better. And that's what sells our oil, really. The taste is good, it's fresh, it's not old, it's not several years sitting in our tanks. You know, it's good oil.
The difference between this oil and the cheaper, lower quality stuff has a lot to do with timing your harvest just right.
So this is a green, these are all the same variety. That's a green olive, one that's just turning purple, and one that's purple to black. So we harvest when they're sort of in the middle there so that we can get a lot of polyphenols in the oil. The longer you wait, the more dark they become and the more oil you can get, but the oil is not quite as good quality.
Yeah.
So it's a timing. In fact, we harvested a few days early this year because we were expecting to get a hurricane. We didn't get, and fortunately we didn't lose a lot of our olives to the ground from wind and rain.
And if you have too many overripe olives in your mix, then it begins to affect the flavor.
It's not just the harvesting that makes the great olive oil. After harvesting, olives need to be milled or put in cold storage immediately so their flavor won't be affected by the heat.
So the other thing we do to make our oil special is we have our own mill, and we mill either that day that we pick them or the next morning. We keep them cold through the night if that's the case. But the olive starts to ferment when you pick it off the tree. So if you leave it out here in a tote in the middle of the grove, or if you don't, and it starts going through a heat, it affects the flavor of the oil. So that's one of the key things about growing and milling olive for good quality extra virgin oil, is when you pick that olive, you get it to the mill as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What happens in Europe, because they produce so many olives, they can't get them all milled in time. So you get olives sitting outside when they should be either in a cooler or be going through the milling process.
Extra virgin, the type Terra Dolce produces, is the highest grade of olive oil. You've probably seen or bought much of it at your local grocery store. Extra virgin olive oil is unrefined and processed without using heat. Olives are cold pressed using mechanical methods like a centrifuge. The result is pure, 100% olive oil, perfect for all your drizzling and dripping needs. Let's now get a look at how these olives become oil.
Let's go see how the mill works. So this this is just a small mill. I mean, you can get mills that do tons per hour, but this one to do about a half a ton per hour. Right here's where the olives are dumped. It's got a little squirrel cage fan that blows all the leaves and sticks out.
Okay.
Then it drops down into a water bath, and then up this auger here into this hammer mill. And you might want to get on the other side to see this, but it drops in there, screws into this. This hammer mill is turning really fast. It grinds up the olive and the pits and the paste and falls out here.
Okay.
And then this is almost like you think about an ice cream churn.
Uh-huh.
For about 45 minutes, it just mixes that paste, just slowly churning that paste. And after 45 minutes, you start seeing the oil separate from the paste, and you can see a little drizzle of oil. The whole paste looks shiny.
Yeah, it like separates.
Yeah, it starts to separate. Then that falls down in there, is pushed around here to what's called a centrifuge.
Okay.
People want their oil to be cold pressed. What that really is, I mean, the press has, there are still presses in the world,
mm-hmm.
but they're outdated, and everybody uses a centrifuge
now. A cold centrifuge.
Yeah, but there's no heat involved.
Mm-hmm.
Heat will make more oil come out of the oil, but you distort the oil by heating it up.
Okay.
The paste with the oil in it comes into here. This is spinning at about 3,500 RPMs. So everything heavy in centrifugal force goes to the outside. The oil is lighter, so it stays on the inside. So you get a column of oil in that centrifuge. So if you want to get cleaner oil, you drill it down
to the middle.
But if you back it out to get a little bit of waste.
Uh-huh.
You want a little bit of waste because you don't want to lose oil.
Right.
So then the oil comes out the bottom here, and the waste is pushed out in a pipe out to what we actually put it back on the land.
There's
really no use for that paste. Nobody in the world has really found
a good use for olive oil paste.
It's bitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the pits in it most of the time. I mean, even hogs won't eat it.
Well, I found one thing hogs won't eat.
They'll eat olives, but they won't eat paste.
They won't eat the paste.
There are about 40 filters in there, and it pushes that oil through those filters and gets rid of everything that you don't want in the oil. So the oil in the end is a green oil. We try to pick when we've got about a 50% turn from green to purple to dark.
For this delicious olive oil to last as long as it can, proper storage is an absolute must. These tanks are where the oil goes between milling and bottling.
For olive oil to keep for several years, you got to keep it away from oxygen.
Okay.
So this tank has a floating lid that will sit down on whatever the level is, and then you take this little pump and pump up an inner tube around that so it keeps it off of, keeps the air away from the oil. And then the other thing feature about this particular one, it's got this little atom here where that pipe goes in there and then turns up, so you're not taking oil off the bottom.
Okay.
Where over time you'll get some dregs on the bottom and you don't want to get that in your oil. So I filter all my oil because new oil tastes really good for a few days, but then it starts going bad. And if you filter it, you don't have any problems with it.
Right, you get some of those properties out.
So that's how the storage works.
Now that these olives have been harvested, milled, and placed into tanks, it's time to get that oil into bottles.
We have a feature here. You put the two bottles on there. That right there puts liquid nitrogen in the bottle, and that when the bottle fills up, it displaces all the oxygen. And then you put, you know, a good cap on it and a sealant. So in a dark bottle like that, it should keep 3 years.
Okay.
But we never keep anything that long because we sell
it. It tastes good and it's selling so well.
Yeah. This is not automatic. This is
hand. It's all,
my two children and me and my wife do all this. So we fill the bottle there, put the cap on it here. This is that is a heated coal, a shrink set on there. Some of them we actually use a European model where we put it down and then there's a pour inside of it.
Okay.
But all the bottles we sell do have pours in them.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is just putting the label on. And this is this is designed by my wife.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, you like it. She's good. I couldn't live without her.
You can find Terra Dolce Farms products at grocery stores all over the Peach State, or you can just order online direct from their website. Importing the best stuff they could find from overseas, Terra Dolce Farms also offers one of olive oil's favorite companions, balsamic vinegar.
A real good balsamic really comes from Moderna, Italy. It's where they grow a musk grape. It's a specific kind of grape for balsamic. And then the process of how many years you take to make that balsamic, the sweeter and the thicker it gets. And so we're able to get some 18-year-old balsamic that's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. And it just pairs well with what you create.
It pairs really well with the
perfect
oil.
Perfect on a salad, you know. Mm-hmm.
The oil and vinegar together make great marinades, great for salads. The balsamic we've even had on our ice cream before. It's really good with strawberries. It's just a really good pairing.
Tommy and Stephanie say they really enjoyed welcoming Chef Dwayne Nutter to the farm so he could get a taste of everything Terra Dolce has to offer. This could be the start of a beautiful agricultural relationship.
He's just such a friendly guy. I mean, he's just so unassuming and unpretentious, but you know, he's just seems like a great guy. We're anxious
to go eat. We can't wait
to
eat at his restaurant.
Yeah.
Terra Dolce Farms' overall mission is to bring high-quality olive oil and balsamic vinegar to the people of Georgia and increase understanding of what that means.
That's what we strive for, is to provide a product that really has great qualities, great structure, great flavor, and also to educate people about what good olive oil really is.
For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the GPB.org website. That's where you'll be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.